Welcome into the National Hour. Live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Sean Reynolds, Sportsnet reporter. Winnipeg Hockey Night in Canada does a terrific job covering a lot of things out west for us. Glad he's back on. Our good buddy Doug McLean is traveling today.
Yeah? Where's he to?
I don't know.
Where are you to, boy?
Maybe nice. He just quit. Maybe he just quit. Maybe he had enough of us.
Probably. Jill probably told him can't do it again.
If you're coming in here, and we're not supposed to talk with the Leafs in the National Hour, but I will say I'm coming down off a high of the Leafs line. Even if you're a Vancouver fan listening to this, Calgary, go back and listen to our podcast and listen to the people calling in, because that was hilarious.
We may introduce it for the NHL Hour.
Oh no, it's a must.
Oh, we are. Oh, so yeah. It's a lock.
It's a voicemail account that you can call, leave your message, and we will play it on the air and respond.
And rip on Sammy, please.
And remember, I'm
turning my wife ever lets me leave the house, and it really hurt.
Because you don't leave the house.
Turning our national
short
show always somehow, some way back to the Leafs.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry guys, but listen to it because it's great.
Yeah.
Anyways,
maybe we'll do it for Monday, and they can hear you cry if Vancouver beats the Leafs on Saturday
big
night.
Big contest tomorrow.
Yeah. I think this is an awesome game every year. And, as much as Toronto people love to be like, oh, it doesn't matter to us, it does.
Oh,
I will say,
like,
the Leafs-Vancouver has always been a great rivalry. And when the Leafs were in the Western Conference, it was an even better rivalry, which Leafs in the Western Conference was insane. But I really, really look forward. I get up for Vancouver games. I'm excited.
You know what's crazy to me is even, coming on this show and hearing Kipper say, that Sean covers stuff for us out west. When you grow up out west, do you know how far east Winnipeg is?
Yes.
It's across the continent. So
that's a good point.
Winnipeg is west.
So what I say,
crazy.
From the middle of the country?
Yeah.
Middle on out.
Central Canada.
Middle on out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we got Sean coming on. We got a lot of Boston Bruins. Canucks fans will be thrilled to know. We're going to give the Bruins the Canucks treatment, are we not? We're going to talk about Pasta and Marchand.
Do you want to do that now or do you want to save that?
Oh, we'll save it. But we can have a little...
A little preamble.
We'll touch on it
here. Yeah. I did not hear it. The first I've heard about this Bruins story is Sammy telling me 2 minutes before we went on air that someone stirred it up in Boston talking about Marchand and Pasternak not getting along. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the parallels are right there in Vancouver between JT Miller and Pettersson. And one's been an ongoing issue in Vancouver for the last little while. This one starts up right away, and I know we're going to talk about it later. At least listen to Brad Marchand later, but it's drawing some parallels today.
Yeah, and I'll just note that the only thing I said yesterday that Miller and Petey could have come out with, a picture of them with a smoothie and two straws sharing it together and been like, we're fine. And everyone would have been like, oh, okay, that's good. And that's essentially what Marchand did today. He said, Pasta's my best friend. It's literally what he said. Pasta's my best friend. So,
Pasta's my best friend too on Saturday nights.
Yeah, fair enough.
With a little bit of
olive oil on there.
Well, but that team is kind of ripe for some drama here.
You lose a bunch.
They've now lost six in a row after, already firing their coach and getting the quote unquote, the bounce from that. And now they've lost six in a row. They're not very good. Tampa skated circles around them last night. They didn't look very good. So we'll get more into that after Sean. And the other one that jumped out for me last night is just the Sens, boy.
Sorry, just want to note, by winning percentage, the Bruins are now behind Montreal.
Really?
Yeah, by winning percentage.
Well, because they've played a lot of games, haven't they?
Yeah, they've played 44, Montreal just 40.
Pettersson has been activated again, coming off injury reserve.
Okay.
So he should be ready to go against Carolina tonight.
Against his future team?
Right.
Wow, so, great call there. I don't think that's an unreasonable suggestion. But yes, also, big door open for some team in the East. I wrote about it earlier this week, how every team can sneak in. Ottawa had the highest odds of any team outside the playoffs, 59% chance of making playoffs. And then they just got beat up by the Sabres yesterday. And my first thought is, A, Ullmark matters a lot to that team, right? That's a significant loss. But also, that's a... That's a crummy showing. That's a loser showing. I really hated that, like playing Buffalo and laying an egg.
Yeah, the Allmark thing is really too bad because he had a stretch where he was like all world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is from the SportsCenter website from Alex Adams, right? Yeah, Alex Adams. Same old issues haunt the Senators slide. Sometimes the game of aberration in a team's play, and sometimes the perfect example of what's going wrong with the team. On Thursday, dumb mistakes, inability to score, and missing Linus Ullmark. There you go.
That's it. It's not that many complicated factors.
Columbus had a big win, too, last night.
Yeah, and Columbus.
They're not going away.
No, they're now solidly in wild card, too.
They're what Ottawa was just two short weeks ago with Ullmark on fire.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see this. You're going to see teams over the next few weeks have their runs, get hot, get cold, hit certain parts of the schedule where it's just easier and harder. So Columbus is the team of the day. I don't think they're the team of the year, but Pittsburgh sniffing around there, too.
Did you see the Ridly Gregg contract?
I did.
I think it's a good deal for Ottawa.
Yeah, I think it is too. I guess it depends.
4 years, $13 million extension on Friday.
All right, we got Sean.
Okay, let's bring him in. Sean Reynolds, Sportsnet reporter in Winnipeg, Hockey Night in Canada. Sean, always a pleasure having you on our show. How are things going out there?
Always a pleasure to be on. Things are going great out here. Yeah, weather's nice in Winnipeg. And
they
covering
snap.
a team that just keeps going.
And they snap a 3-game losing streak, so that always helps that it isn't a 4 or 5-game losing streak. Things kind of settled in after their torrid start.
Yeah, you guys, I remember I was on and you'd asked, is it sustainable? You know, when I think they'd gone 15-1 in their first 16, and obviously that wasn't sustainable. I've been saying it about this Jets team for years. They get to their game quicker than most other teams do. They've got, there's not a lot of roster rollover, and there's not a lot of guys who don't know what their role is, their identity is. So the Jets got off to a hot start. Since then, so that 16-game mark I was talking about, they're 2 games over 500 since then. So you'll see these little stretches of hockey started around Christmas time. They went on a 4-game winning streak there, and it was 4 really good teams, including Ottawa, when they were on a heater there, and they kind of laid a beating on those teams. You know, one of those was going into Toronto and taking down a really hot Toronto Maple Leafs team at that time, who's been really great this season. And then you get what you got, where they had the 3-game losing streak that followed right after that 4-game winning streak. So they're up, they're down. That's typically what the Jets end up being around this time of the year. And 2 really big tests, tonight against LA, who really, I thought, kind of just ground the Jets into the ground, beating them at their own game the last time they played. And then, of course, Colorado, who really has kind of been skating circles around the Jets. The season series is 1-1, but the first game that they played, Colorado absolutely dominated them. And Connor Hellebuck threw up a Connor Hellebuckian effort, and they won 1-0, if I remember correctly. But They've got some work to do to show that they're on the same ice level as Colorado.
Sean, I was talking about the Jets the other day. I was talking about Hellebuck and how he's a Hall of Fame goaltender. You know, I think at some point we're going to be covering his speech that he's giving. And most of the time, those guys have a run, a playoff year. If you are one of the elite goalies, there's usually some performance where, they drag this team, whatever. I think this is the time, right? He's due. We know what a great goaltender he is. And it feels like the bottom of the West is soft enough that, finishing first and getting a wild card team could really open the door for that. Do you think they're going to get aggressive? Do you think they're going to see a genuine opportunity this year and change the team? Or is it like, we trust the way we're winning and this is good enough?
They won't change it. They're going to do exactly what they did last year. So this is the same team that they had for the majority of the season last year. And then they needed a 2C, so they went out and they added Sean Monahan. Then they wanted some help on the wing because Cole Perfetti was kind of disappearing at points throughout the season. So they went out and they got Tyler Toffoli and they needed some help. I think they tried to, you know, get a bigger name on the back end than Colin Miller, but that's what they ended up getting. They got a little bit of depth. I think you're going to see them try and do the exact same thing this year. That's a way of saying that they really do trust their first line. They love their third line. Their fourth line does the job they think they need it to do. You've got Connor Hellebuck in net. They probably do need some more size on the back end because I had thought last year Nichushkin just did whatever he wanted in that first round series that they knocked the Jets out. So I see them doing the exact same thing as they did last year. They'll be trying to fill those exact same roles. Maybe they don't have to replace Cole Perfetti if he can kind of wake up, but we're seeing from him what we saw from him last year. When he's on, he's really on, but when he's off, he's really off, and he's off for too long of stretches of hockey to kind of trust that he's going to find some consistency come playoff time when playing his hardest.
So Sean, where's Nick Ehlers in all of this in terms of one of a handful of big name UFAs coming down?
Yeah, he's I mean, there's a pitch here this season because I know that in the Paul Maurice years, in the Rick Bonus years, there's a little bit of a feeling that this was an underutilized player. Scott Arneil came in, said one of the first things he did after he was hired was talked about the importance of Nick Ehlers and how they were going to need him this season. He's followed through on that. Nick Ehlers going along at near a point per game clip. So he's having his best season ever. He's getting all kinds of opportunities on the first power play. It's really clicking because of him. I mean, you want to answer the question of why the Jets power play went from not very good last year to really good this year. You know, Davis Payne has a lot to do with that, but adding Nick Ehlers into the mix has definitely helped them there. And he's kind of getting it done almost, I don't want to say alone on the second line, but you're talking about a guy who's, you know, at a point per game clip, beside Vladislav Namestnikov, who's nowhere near that, or Cole Perfetti, who's nowhere near that, he's getting it done in spite of the situation that he's in. Will it be enough to convince him to stick around next season? I've been saying this since the beginning. Like, I think you've got a player who's in his late 20s and has been probably feeling like he's been underutilized his whole career. Scott Arneil is doing a valiant job trying to say, hey, under our coaching staff, you're going to be treated like a star and we're going to give you these opportunities. I just think it may be a little bit too late for a player who, even still on that second line, he's not in the best situation. He doesn't have a superstar second line center beside him. So it may be too tempting for him to look around the league and see all that's out there and the different scenarios he could be playing under.
Sean, is there a sense of what he's looking for? Because I haven't really heard as much as I've heard other names out there on what he thinks his marketplace may be, the number or the number Winnipeg would be willing to go to.
Oh, geez. Well, the answer is no. I can't tell you right now he wants this dollar figure and that's it.
No, but is there a feel? Is there a feel for, does he think he might be in that 8, 7 to 8, 6.5? Like where would you see him with your experience of following this team?
Yeah, so he's already in the sixes. The thing, there's an internal cap now, though, in Winnipeg, right? Because Connor Hellebuck went and signed a deal that I think is just, and at the time I thought it was an absolute steal. Like, everyone was thinking he was going to be one of these $10 million goaltenders, and then he goes out and he signs matching contracts with Mark Scheifele at 8.5. So to me, that number, a player isn't getting above that. Maybe they'll go above that with Kyle Connor, who will be an unrestricted free agent after next season if he doesn't extend or re-sign. But we all know where the market's headed right now, and we all know that there's going to be more space, and so because of that, players are going to make more. To answer your question, I hope I'm doing service of it, Nick, but I think that the ability for him to go get money on the open market is going to be more than what the Jets, I think, would be willing to pay, because it's going to be bumping up against the idea of what Mark Scheifele. I'm thinking he's already in the sixes, so I'm thinking 7.5 is probably a number that he's probably going to be getting in around. Whether the Jets are willing to pay that, it's tough to get that kind of talent in Winnipeg, so maybe they would, but at the same time, I still think it's not just dollars figures that we're looking at here. He's looking at getting out in a situation with a team that says, come in here, we want to use you, we want to showcase you. That hadn't happened for the most part in Winnipeg for the majority of his years until this year.
Sean, the Jets have had some interesting personalities, and I don't want to say personality clashes necessarily, but with Wheeler and Laine, and teams, that there's stuff that happens. And so you have some experience seeing that and then seeing what's going on in Vancouver and seeing what's going on with Boston. I don't know if you heard today, it's kind of a rumor that Marchand already put out, but that him and Pasta kind of are at odds. How much do you think that affects teams? And is it a product of them just losing hockey games so the story comes up, or are they losing hockey games because of what's happening behind closed doors?
It's funny. You brought up a great comparison. I'm glad you're asking about this, because when the situation started happening in Vancouver, all I kept hearing about that situation, I don't have any insight into that, but when you hear Elliott's reports and people who are talking about Vancouver, it sounds like the Wheeler 2.0 situation here. And listen, I think the Winnipeg Jets did a really good job for the most part of surviving while that was going on. But like, it's obvious, right? Rick Bowness came in and said, this culture needs changing. And eventually they had to buy Blake Wheeler out. The Winnipeg Jets were, in my opinion, the best team in hockey in 2018. I thought they were going to win the Stanley Cup that year. And then the next year, they were set up to do it again, and everything kind of fell apart. And you can say they ran into a hot Blues team, and that's the truth. They lost in six. But they also kind of did a little bit of a swan dive, which they've become very much known for in the second half of the season that year. I think from the stories that we've heard, from the reports that we had out of the dressing room, there was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of, we've had players, I know one player who came out of the dressing room and said that he thought it was a really bad culture in that dressing room. Sorry, I should say more than one player. That affects things. I think the Winnipeg Jets were a potential cup winner, not just in 2018, but definitely in 2019, and could have done, you know, this is that team we keep talking about, you know, can't seem to get past that first round. I think the culture issues had a huge effect on that happening. So when that starts kind of boiling over, I don't think that you can really get past that. I mean, Nick will be able to tell you, if you want to win, you need a team that's kind of all on the same page, right? Not every guy needs to like each other, but you need to have each other's backs. And when it gets to the point where players don't feel like each other have each other's backs, then it gets pretty rough.
You might be a great guy to ask this, because you're in Winnipeg and you kind of went through this whole culture adjustment. Mm-hmm. And yes, hindsight is 20/20. And, you know, when I think of Patrick Laine, one time going neck and neck with Austin Matthews as the up and coming superstars.
Yeah.
And, you know, where did that fit in the equation of, you know, stalling his development or not leaving him in the most nurturing environment, and how it may have affected on maybe where he is today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it played a massive issue. I don't think the room was a very comfortable place for him, talking with people. And listen, Patrick Laine was a guy who, to a degree, Nick, clashed with traditional hockey, right? Like, he may have been the kind of player that when you were in the dressing room, you would have looked and been like, what's the deal with this kid, right? Because he went out and, you know, you're in this Jets room that is really, really a focused room on guys who work out like crazy. Like, they're the Hulk Hogan team. They eat their vitamins. They say their prayers. They do all these kind of things. Like, their watch goes off and they're eating at this specific time. And that wasn't Patrick Laine. Here, this kid kid walks in and rips 36 goals in his rookie year and then 44 in the next year, and he's eating candy and playing video games until the middle of the night, right? So it definitely was a clash in that situation there. It clashed to the degree that I don't think it became very comfortable for him. I do think Patrick Laine said early, and he was a very comfortable person talking with us in the media, I always got the sense he loved Winnipeg and wanted to be there for a really long time. So when things turned, and from the things I heard that, you know, were going on in the room, I think it wasn't a comfortable place for him and he needed to get out. I think all the signs that Rick Bowness saw later that needed to be changed, the culture of the team, that's the culture that bit Patrick Laine. So he goes and he heads out. But I mean, there's a degree of, you know, from what I've heard of similar things happening when he was in Columbus. Patrick Laine is a unique individual, and we know that hockey is changing. We know that it's becoming a lot more accepting of different personalities, maybe, you know, maybe weirder personalities, maybe some guys who are...
Sammy's on our show.
Anything goes.
But you know, Nick, there was a certain specific guy when you were playing in the 90s. You had to be this if you were going to fit in with hockey culture. And now we're starting to see that hockey culture is getting a little bit bigger, a little bit wider. I still think Patrick Laine is a little bit out there on the spectrum. But look what he does. I mean, look at that shot. What, 8 power play goals already in Montreal? Yeah. Like, if you can find a way to make it work with this guy, the one thing that he does is he loves hockey, you know, and he'll go out and he'll do really great things for you. But at the same time, I can tell you from talking with players who were in the room with him that they were rubbed the wrong way by how he approached the game. So I think I thought Montreal was a great place for him to go because I thought Marty St. Louis was the perfect coach to kind of rekindle his love of the game, which I think is the driving factor on whether he performs or not, and then just maybe try and find a way to get him to fit in and around that team. It looks like it's working in Montreal.
Well, it's crazy, right? Like, since he got there, the team is red hot, and I'm not saying it's because he's there, but it's,
yeah,
you know, they've been a lot better. What do you make of that group by winning percentage today? Like, they're pretty close to a playoff spot, which is insane to say.
Yeah, they came in and they played in early December. They played the Jets. And if you remember, Patrick Laine came in and he made that crack about Hellebuyck always having the Patty flu. Right. And yeah. I love that. I love the fact that he's going in and taking, you know, a goalie who's starting to look like the best goalie of a generation. And he's picking a fight with that guy. Right. And I loved what happened on the ice afterwards. Now it burnt the Canadians to a degree because Patrick Laine had like 8 shots that game and 7 of them were lasers labeled right on the inside of the post, and Connor Hellebuyck found a way to stop them. Connor Hellebuyck won that game for the Winnipeg Jets. But you know what? I'm okay with that if I'm Marty St. Louis and the rest of the Montreal Canadiens. Now, at one time, you know, maybe in the 90s or in the 80s or whatever, a player would have gone over to him in the dressing room afterwards and said, "Shut up, you woke up their goaltender," and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think the Canadians looked at that and were like, hey, the kid called the other guy out and he went and performed. He got outperformed by the other guy, but he went in and he backed it up in that game. And we, you know, like, I like that swagger. I like that we're having fun out here. That's a young group. I think fun is really important with a young group. They're having fun. They've got a coach who's, you know, able to manage that, but at the same time, keep them focused and moving forward. So I think he's a fit there. Like you're saying, Justin, it's not all him. Clearly, this is a good team and they've been doing it without him for a little while, but having that little bit of that swagger, having that guy who can shoot like that, having the reaction that you get from the Habs faithful when he's doing that, because I can tell you this, being in the Winnipeg building for so many years, when he would let that shot go, it's one of those things that it takes you out of your seat. It's a wow factor. And if you bring a wow factor to Montreal, they're going to elevate it. So I think it's just part of the way that culture is fitting with the fans and the team and the coaching staff. Everyone's having fun. It's mixing well. I think Patrick Laine plays a role in it. He's not all of it. There's a lot of great players there, but he's a good fit.
Sean, we're seeing Dallas and Colorado in the Central start to make a move here a little bit. If by chance that they catch Winnipeg, would that be seen as a major disappointment coming off that start?
Oh, I think you'd have to. Like, they had such a head start. And, I mean, we've got Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow between Winnipeg and Colorado. And it's one of the things I'm going to talk about, like the lead that they had on these teams. But the one thing, you know, I thought this was fascinating, Nick. I don't know how it was back in your day when you were on good teams, but I talked to Devon Taves early in the year, and I asked him about the rough start that they were having, and he was like, man, we're going to be trying to figure out our identity until Christmas time. If we're still stumbling at Christmas time, then we're going to be concerned. But this is a team that understands that, like, bringing in new players, you know, tweaks to the system, all these kind of things, takes a while to figure it out. And that team had given themselves until Christmas to figure it out. Well, it's after Christmas. Now they're rolling. Now they're going. They finally got goaltending. I would think so. Like, the Jets were so far ahead. We'd said at the beginning of the year, after that 16-game start, if they went 500 for the rest of the year, that should get them into the playoffs. It wasn't a challenge. It wasn't a challenge for them to go 500 because that's the mark they're kind of close to. They lose these next two games, and that's what we're talking about. They've been a 500 hockey club since that time. So Dallas is going now. I think we always knew they were going to. Something about the Avalanche makes them feel like a little bit more of a wild card, whether they'll pop in there. But, like, the Central Division is stocked. And to your guys' point, you said something about, you know, the wild card down at the bottom of the West. I think you need to finish first place in the West, because otherwise you are going to be getting, if you're the Jets, you're going to be getting one of the Colorado Avalanche, the Dallas Stars, or the Minnesota Wild. I like their chances to get the Minnesota Wild, but the Minnesota Wild will take their pound of flesh. Oh, yeah. Dallas is really good and will take their pound of flesh, and the Jets struggle with the speed that the Avalanche brings. So if the Jets can't catch the Golden Knights and finish in first and take on that last seed, which will be, you know, either Vancouver or Calgary or maybe St. Louis or Utah or something like that, that to me seems to be the only real reward for finishing at the top of the conference, because finishing second place isn't going to be much of a reward.
Back-to-back tonight for the Winnipeg Jets, LA Kings, and Colorado. We look forward to those games. Hey, Sean, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for doing this. Great insight.
Yeah, anytime. Love being on with you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
That is Sean Reynolds, Sportsnet reporter, Winnipeg, and, of course, Hockey Night in Canada.
Elite hat owner, too.
Fantastic stuff there from Sean. Yeah. It is a Winnipeg, and the way things have gone there, it is a bit of a cautionary tale. I mean, I guess not, because they're good now, so it's a tough one, but they went through that weird time after Laine and Wheeler.
But they had to cut bait.
They did.
Made a decision to move on from a guy.
Yeah. And Wheeler, I mean, but it's a little different with Wheeler, what the point of his career he's at.
That's true.
Laine, though, was not. Mm-hmm. He was at the... Anyways.
I see the Jets be more aggressive.
LA Kings tonight. LA Kings are on a 5-game road swing here.
Let's say we're doing okay.
And, like, I mean, we got to send out our thoughts and our prayers to everybody in Southern California who continue to battle. Once again, it's just, it doesn't even look real. The pictures don't look real. It's like looking at someone walk on another planet.
It's truly horrifying. And it's like, you know, you talk
horrific.
About like it's, it, you know, and not to make the Hollywood thing, but it looks like a movie that you've seen, like a disaster movie in L.A. Like it's so scary.
So, I mean, we're thinking of everybody. We know our show goes out, you know, podcasts and YouTube, and we're thinking of people that you are either there or know of, family, friends, you know, our thoughts and prayers are out to you guys. But I mean, at least the Kings are out on the road. They're not at home. They're not canceling games. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Obviously,
you're on the road. You're thinking about your house. You're thinking about your friends.
They had
like,
one postponed, right?
Yeah, they Calgary. Yeah. Calgary was postponed, and then they had this scheduled Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Seattle. They're not scheduled to go back home till January 20th.
Wow.
But I don't know, like, what's going to be waiting for them there.
Can you imagine? You're just like, you're out in the road and you got your family and friends back home. You're trying to stay locked in for hockey, and like your city's literally burning. Like that's got to be incredible.
Yeah, you know, like my mom's in Kelowna during all those fires. Yeah.
Oh my
she
god!
Was, like it came down like legitimately 500 yards is where it stopped burning from her home.
Really?
Like everything. That's, oh yeah, she was evacuated.
But
and all
holy!
That.
Like,
I get it that we got to keep moving on and life goes on and there's businesses and livelihoods are around whatever industry that you're in, but like, how are people going to go to games in the next few months?
You're not.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got no home. You got no clothes. You got nothing. It's like, where is going to a hockey game in the next 3 months on your priority list?
Yeah, it may not be.
Extremely low.
Yeah. It's just so sad.
It is.
Anyways.
Game time?
Game time.
All right, it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. We've got five games tonight. I would say highlighted by the LA Kings, like we were just talking about, in Winnipeg to take on the Jets. Minus 110 on both sides of the money line there, even money. Really an excellent hockey game. Don't really know which way to lean on that one. Jets just got off the schneid. They snapped a three-game losing streak. Well, they beat the Nashville Predator does. So maybe lean to the Jets on that one. The Sharks, my favorite league pass team, the Sharks are in Utah to take on the Club. They are plus 230 underdogs in Utah, taking on Utah. Give me a long shot on the San Jose Sharks. And if you want to throw in my favorite young player in the league, Macklin Celebrini, to score a goal on that one, as I pull it up here quickly. Macklin Celebrini is plus 210 to score a goal tonight, and give me that tonight because I love watching him play. And then the last one that I'll mention for our Vancouver audience, they are plus 150 underdogs in Vancouver on the first night of a back-to-back. Oh, sorry, in Carolina, on the first night of a back-to-back, taking on the Canes. We're in the second half of a back-to-back after playing the Leafs last night. And I think they said in the broadcast last night that Eric Tulsky called it the Josh Levo tournament because Josh Levo played for the Leafs, Carolina Hurricanes, and the Vancouver Levo's Canucks.
Killing it.
Oh, he's lighting up the KHL. So yeah. I thought that was hilarious. Tulsky apparently mentioned that. So it's pretty funny stuff. And anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, good job, Sammy.
Thanks, bud.
We're going to take a quick break here. And when we return, we're going to hear from Brad Marchand.
Oh, yeah.
Who has, I don't know if it's a case study for the Vancouver Canucks on how to handle maybe.
How to handle the nonsense.
By the way, the nonsense.
I did look this up quickly. Josh Levo is leading the KHL in points with 47 points in 38 games, 28 goals in 38 games.
I'm telling you, I still have a little bit of Josh Levo stock in the portfolio. Guy could fire
Nikita Gusev in second.
I think he carries a cell phone in his pants.
It's a great question. Hey, and did you want to do text?
Barabanov is 11th. Barabanov. Yeah.
We usually do text on Friday. You want to do some text too?
Yeah, of
all right.
Course.
So text 590-590, text in, and we'll read some of them from the more national side of things. It feels a little underwhelming after the Leafs line, but we'll do some text. So text in from around the country. Want to talk other than the Leafs. So
Patan,
text in.
Nick Patan. All right.
That, Brad Marchand, and then I want you guys to answer this question after the break.
Okay.
Would you trade Connor Bedard for Celebrini?
Yes. Oh, sorry. No, I'll give you the answer after the break.
When we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's the Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our good friend Derek Brandale says 18 minutes till the weekend.
God, it's a long time.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
And I could have swore he said at the top of our show 2 hours before the weekend.
Tell me if I'm wrong. A team could do worse than adding Josh Levo from the KHL at the deadline.
Josh Levo is a big man.
6'2", 195, 31 years old, shoots it hard, you know, straight lines. If you put him on your third line, I think you're okay.
I think if he ends up on a third line, he owes you like 3%.
Think so?
Yeah, you just found him a job.
He's up 5 points in the scoring lead in the K. I don't know how they'd let you out of Russia easy if he wants to leave.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I'm trying to see if there's any other former friends in his team that we recognize, but I don't see
anybody. Who's Salavat Ulayev Ufa?
Yeah.
I don't recognize any of those names.
Nope. All right, we got a little NHL news and notes. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. We got text, so where do you want to start?
Oh, with Marchand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I forgot we had Marchand. That. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Juice. Sorry.
Okay, so just.
18 minutes of the weekend here, boys. Let's go.
just recap here.
Okay.
No one's ever heard anything out of the Boston Bruins that they've got internal issues or they're not getting along, and then You tell me 5 minutes before the show, somebody went on the air somewhere.
It was about an hour before when you first got here.
I can't keep time.
But what I'll say is this is, so we have the clip. I think I put it in there. Yeah, we have the clip. And this is from the Jones and Keefe show on WEEI in Boston. And we have
that means nothing to us.
Well, WEI is the biggest radio. That's Fan 590 of Boston.
Okay, so that's a big show with a big audience.
Big show. And this was said on the show.
I've heard.
Nope, not this one. The other clip there. The other clip.
See, Derek's already on weekend mode right now.
Yeah. We'll give him kind of some slack there.
You know, you can't rule anything out. I got a lot of love for all the organizations.
Clip from Rich and Keefe. Yeah, sorry.
Impeccable track record.
True.
But Scoops Keefe.
Yes.
With a tremendous, impeccable track record.
True.
What are you hearing on the Bruins, Keefe?
Well, what I'm hearing is this. First of all, what we can all see is that they're a mess on the ice, right? They've lost six in a row. But what I'm hearing is they're also a mess off the ice. Apparently the locker room is a disaster, and David Pastrnak is at the center of that. David Pastrnak has told the team he doesn't want to be on a line with Brad Marchand, and it may stem from Brad Marchand calling out Pastrnak for some of his play throughout the year. So Pastrnak, maybe your best player, 60-goal scorer, all that stuff. Also the main reason why it is a disaster inside the locker room.
They won't play on a line together.
Pastrnak does not want to play with Marchand.
And they're not playing together.
Well, no.
Well, are they getting any play time together? Good point.
I think they may have done that. But this is what he is saying, and so I'm sure, you know, the coach doesn't have to do everything he says. But that's
shuffled
what
the lines,
correct,
though. It's Pastrnak is you know, no longer playing with Marchand. It's Marchand and Coyle and Lindholm.
Okay,
they've been throughout their careers. They've been on and off, right, on lines.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But not lately. Like these. He's had him separated for a good portion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, so that has been in, okay, so what time did that get sent out, that tweet? I'm trying to see here. That was sent.
That must have been an early morning.
No, that was 6 hours ago. So that was sent out at 11:12 a.m.
Okay.
On from the and Jones then, and Keith. And then.
Brad, after practice?
After practice. Brad Marchand had this to say about that.
And, you know, that job is a report on the team, and usually you try to be fact-based. But when there's just blatant lies told in the media, that's where there's a problem. And the fact that this guy has a platform and he's just making stuff up is embarrassing. And there's zero truth to anything that he said on the radio. This is how you lose a job very quickly. The fact that he's going to have a job after this is insane. Because Pass and I are best friends.
He literally went on for like 3 minutes talking about this.
Yeah.
Pretty convincing.
Yeah.
Right?
And part of the other clip where he said, everyone in the locker room loves David Pastrnak. He said those words.
Yeah.
This is a guy that when he speaks, there's no BS about this guy.
Yeah,
Brad
Marchand.
No. What I'm talking about, like he can.
Mitch Marner's my favorite.
No. There's the tongue in cheek. There's the tongue in cheek, and there's the little kind of gamesmanship that he can play with the best of them in the media. But this is not a guy that is known for me to be incredible.
Yeah. No. And I think no one would be in a position to say that that's not true. Like, you know, he stood up and he said, he's my pal. Everyone loves him. You know, there's nothing there. And
he didn't say he's his pal.
He says
my best friend.
He was give the best man speech at my wedding.
And it's over and it's a non-story.
And even if it's not true, the fact that he's willing to say that about Pastrnak means he's willing to move on and just coexist. He doesn't want him gone. They're just willing to coexist is what that shows.
But he's got me convinced it's way more than him just kind of putting out a
You think there's
fire.
Actually nothing there at all? Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think a guy comes out and is that forceful.
Yeah, and that, so what we're talking about is Vancouver. Well, you know, what we talk about when we're not talking, whatever. We're talking about Vancouver here. because no one has come out and said, Petey's my best friend.
Well, even if it wasn't as forceful as Marchand,
Petey's my friend.
Admin,
I can handle
that.
Petey's okay.
There's a lot more, I think, between Miller and Pettersson that you can do to kind of just calm the waters down a little bit, but and management too, or talk it, or
the Bruins Twitter account put it like a playful, like looking forward thing, and it's like Marchand and Pasta at practice today, like standing beside each other, and like,
can I play devil's advocate? And defend my...
You do whatever you want.
My brethren in the radio world. I mean, that is how you would come out and be, like, overly defensive of something that might actually be true.
No, I hate that. I don't think that's true at all.
I think, you know, he realizes the gravity of the situation. He realizes they suck. I think that, you know, I probably agree with Marchand. But, like, I don't think it's a 0% chance that there's not something to
it. No, that's fine. And I'm sure the assistant equipment manager saw them in a fight one day or something and told someone.
When you're coming out that aggressive and being like, you're so wrong, part of me is like,
well. Dummy take.
I'm just saying.
He should have been halfway forceful.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
What would you have liked him to do? You want him to come out and say something less forceful. I like him okay, but what amount of force would have convinced you?
Listen, I'm just saying that I've been around some people that have denied things that have been true, and they were vehement. Vehement?
Yeah,
vehement. In their denial.
Yeah.
Listen. And I just think I think it's false, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I'm saying there's no answer that would have satisfied you.
Okay.
When we're talking about guys that you see every day, more so than sometimes you see your family, and you've got an outsider like that in the media that can hear things or have someone relay something that they think they might have seen or heard, and it can get twisted.
And I'm sure it's from something.
Like, I've been around so many teams when you go out, you hang out, and people look at you going, this is the way you guys talk to each other.
Do you hate him?
And, like, stuff that, like, I know my wife on many occasions, she's like, if anyone said that about me, like, I'd never speak to them again.
You're like, yeah, that's my best
friend.
And
I'm like, what are you talking about? That guy's the best.
But I do think, I will say, Sammy, to your point, I don't think Rich Kiefer Jones or whatever was at home today and was like,
I'm going to make this up.
Yeah. Like, someone told him something that they thought they saw or they did hear or whatever. And as I said, it could be the security guard's brother's buddy. It
could be a bad 2 minutes or yes. Just where you just rip on each other.
It's like,
you know,
have you ever fought with your wife? Yeah, you love your wife? Sure do.
You know?
The best friend thing's tough to come back from. Like, if you're Jones and Keefe.
Yeah.
Like, having a report and then not even letting it last, it wasn't even 3 hours. Like, I sent a tweet today about, like, being the Bruins down. So
we're buds.
We're best friends.
I got to think, if Brad is unaware of any situation in Vancouver, maybe he doesn't speak today.
I agree with you. This is totally related. Like, let's not get caught up in that where someone has to get traded.
We are not going down the Vancouver Canuck path.
Yeah.
I'm putting an end to this right now, right here.
Yeah.
And that's what I think led that.
Definitely related. And I do want to say, Sam, that when people do deny things, I agree with you that this is how it comes out at first. It's like, I did not have relations with that woman.
I mean,
I get that that's how people do it.
To quote one of my very favorite writers of all time, William Shakespeare, the lady doth press too much, protest too much.
Yeah. That's great that someone sent you that, but like, it is a thing that like, that is.
I am red.
But I'm just saying there's nothing that would have satisfied you when you want it to be true, you know?
That is obvious.
Yeah.
But anyways.
But I do think
you really want them to self.
I really want them to trade Marchand.
So he can wear his Marchand jersey.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for Tex?
But they're in big trouble.
Oh, Boston stinks. They're minus 24. They're below Montreal in winning percentage.
Their specialty teams are
10th in
horrible.
The conference
like,
at this
there's
point.
There's nothing there to suggest they're digging themselves out anytime soon.
Swayman, did you see the goal last night, the Cirelli one off the back wall? Mm-hmm. It was a shorthanded goal, but like Swayman looks, he looks not just not very good or not as good, he looks bad. Like he looks like he should not be their starting goalie.
Corpus Allo's pretty good.
Oh,
It'll be a hard one to recover off of.
We don't have time
coming
for
off that high profile.
I think that holdout. That pressure's hurting.
Hi guys, happy New Year. I'm Lucas from Vancouver Island, BC.
Hey Lucas.
I think we talked about this, but I'm going to do it again. I was curious about how you felt about all the empty net goals these days and how it is affecting the historical records of the game and making easier to break said records.
I love this question. It sucks.
How about
I hate the fact that
Preach
coaches have no regard to whether or not they lose 4-3, 7-3, 9-3. Let's give up 5 empty net goals. Nobody cares anymore.
Because logically, does it matter?
Hey, I'm watching the Leaf game last night.
Preach it, baby.
Hey. And it's 5-3, and they're
couple of moral victory boys in here, everyone.
Another, like, don't give up the empty net goal, okay? Don't.
Because
you're gonna lose, okay? You're gonna lose. Just put your goalie
in. Don't try to win.
And just leave quietly, okay? You're not coming back off of 2 empty net goals, or it's over. But no, let's try again.
I don't mind the take that, like, it stinks because I don't like all the empty net goals, the way they're affecting the records, and maybe we should look at stripping empty net points from records or whatever. I think Rantanen has, like, I don't know, 15 points on empty netters this year or something crazy. But
Wayne had a ton of empty netters.
Yeah, but so. You're trying
but they were
you play
one and done.
To win the game.
But they were one and done. This is the way it used to work, okay? Minute to go, pull the goalie, you don't score, they score an empty net. Now they're up 2 goals.
And you used to take a wagon from New York to Los Angeles.
You put your goalie back in, and you quietly feel shame when you leave the ice.
I will say, and I guess I'm old school, but anytime the goalie comes out with more than 2 minutes and 20 seconds left, I'm disgusted.
I was at
that game. That is sickening.
I was at Islander Sabres when Waugh pulled the goalie with 11 and a half minutes left. Like,
he did that in Vancouver, in Toronto, I think, with 12 like, minutes to go.
That late?
With a
that
power early? Play.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, no, there's something there where the record books are getting all
great question.
Screwed up.
Great text.
Hi, guys. Kipper, what's the worst dressing room fight you ever saw from Rob and Welland?
Let me go second on this.
Go first because he's thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I've really experienced one.
Guy on our team gets in some trouble a couple of times, has to run laps at 6 a.m. with the captain. The captain's willing to get up and do it. It's Alaska. Alaska minus whatever. The kid no-shows him. So the captain wakes up, gets out of bed, has to stand up in the cold in Alaska waiting for him. And so it's pitcher day. He's sitting in the kid's stall when we get to the rink for pitchers. And everyone's in their own stall. He's in his stall. So what's happening? So I'm gonna fight him when he gets here. So okay. Everyone goes and sits in their stall and just waits. And he used to beep to hear the code. Where they go, all right, someone's coming in the dressing room. Beep, 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 beep. And he came in, and he hit him so hard. He was in an orange jumpsuit on the news that night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was crazy.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of instances our Stanley Cup year where I think maybe Esa Tiikkanen was wearing the same suit to practice in the morning that he wore the night before.
Yeah.
And I cannot confirm or deny whether his feet were dangling, pressed up against the wall. by Mark Messier or not, but I think it stopped after that.
But it put an end to the nights out, eh?
Put an end to the, show up a little cleaner.
That's
for
a
practice.
Good one because it's a note for everyone, not just Esa Tiikkanen, right? Everyone sees that and goes, okay.
Oh, yeah.
We have some standards.
Shower here. And make sure you're wearing something different.
Yeah. Good showing.
A lot of texts about, couple texts about JT Miller for William Nylander from people in Vancouver. Sure, they would like that.
Miller for Nylander.
Yeah.
Hey, you can talk me into it. You can talk me into it.
No good.
That's hard. You got an extra $3 million caps.
Hard no, brother.
If I am absolutely desperate to win a Stanley Cup this year,
you're not. You guys are.
I like JT Miller.
I like JT Miller too.
I like JT Miller 3, but I'm not trading William Nylander for him. Straight up, 1-for-1.
I don't know that Willie's...
Yeah. How old's Willie? 27?
28.
28? Yeah. And Miller's 31?
Yeah.
Miller's had 100 and some point season already.
I give up the 3 years
yeah.
on that one.
And take the cap space and buy yourself something nice.
You guys are just pandering to Vancouver.
No, I am not pandering.
You don't want those Vancouver meanies coming after you.
Listen.
I'll give you Marner for Miller.
You know what?
You're crazy.
You think about it for sure.
You think about it.
You think about that one for sure.
Okay, so they'd have a meeting. If it was Willie for JT, if that was proposed, there would be a meeting on both sides.
It's just Miller has that element that Marner doesn't have or Nylander doesn't have. Not many guys.
Psycho competitiveness.
That's it. I wrote about that today. God. Check it out at sportsnet.ca. Forgot about that.
Okay.
Literally wrote about this topic.
What a show.
Our thanks to Sean Reynolds from Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good job today, Sammy, producing.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, everybody.